This is the Edinburgh Reporter podcast, and today, on the 10th of April, we're here with the Right Honourable Lord Provost of the City of Edinburgh, Frank Ross. And Frank, it's been quite a poignant day today because there was a 41-gun salute from Edinburgh Castle, and this is all to honour the memory of the Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Philip, who died yesterday, and I'm sure you have your own memories of him.
Absolutely, Phyllis. Although I have to say that I only actually, I took office at the end of his active civic life, or at least the public side of it. I know he continued, although he stopped doing public events. I only had the opportunity to meet him once, which was technically after he'd retired in August 2017. And he accompanied Her Majesty at the opening of the Fourth Crossing in the September of that year. And that was really the last time that he was seen, certainly in Scotland, even as consort to Her Majesty the Queen. And it was a great honour that he chose that particular event, not just for the crossing, but also because of his long-standing association with the capital, Edinburgh.
I know, he's been a constant figure, and I think perhaps that's really what has struck all of us this last couple of days. He's been such a constant figure, even at the garden parties at Holyrood House, everywhere that we can think of the Queen having been, he has been there by her side. And I suppose that's, on a personal level, it must be it's a sad time for her and also for the family.
Absolutely. And as I said yesterday, you know, our condolences and sympathies go out to Her Majesty and all members of the royal family. Edinburgh is very fortunate that we have more visits by members of the royal family than any other city outside London. So we will get an opportunity I will get an opportunity to meet most of them this year and be able to pass on those condolences and sympathies in person. Also, as Lord Provost and Lord Lieutenant, I've also taken the opportunity on behalf of the citizens of Edinburgh to write to Her Majesty a personal note, which will be sent off on Monday when I get an opportunity to hand sign it, wet sign it. I mean, we're having his grandson, Prince William, Earl of Strathairn, visiting us next month as part of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland. And of course, the Princess Royal will be her usual incredibly regular visitor to Edinburgh. But it's amazing when you look back with the Duke of Edinburgh, just how often during his earlier years, and I don't mean 10, 15, 20 years ago, because obviously at the age of 99, he retired when he was 96, you know, which is, it's one hell of an innings, still participated. I mean, he was Chancellor of the University of Edinburgh for 57 years. He was, and he retained either patronage or membership of up to 30 organisations, even past his official retiral. And it's a huge, huge range. I mean, the university and Heriot Watt University are too well known, as are the Botanics and the Royal Zoological Society. But he had on his Navy side, he was still patron of the Royal Fourth Yacht Club, which had its centenary, I think, either last year or the year before. But he still retained an active interest. Obviously, the Royal British Legion was very close to his heart. And he always, when he came to Edinburgh, always had time to ensure that he reached out to veterans and to serving personnel on each individual occasion. But of course, he was also a past master of the Royal Company of Merchants of Edinburgh. And he was very interested in a huge, huge range, the Royal Society of Edinburgh. You know, the list goes on, and it just shows to be able to do that. You know, you've retired at 96, but you're retaining that patronage. You're retaining that connection with the city and across a huge range of topics. Says a lot for the individual, a lot for the man.
No, I don't think you or I will still be working when we're 96 if we reach that grand old age.
Absolutely, just getting there. I think I'll be quite happy if truth be told. But I think, you know, one of the things, and I've said this on a couple of other occasions, the vision that he had back in 47-ish to start the Duke of Edinburgh Award Scheme to support the development of young people. 70 years later, for that not still just to be going, but now to be active in over 140 countries across the world is absolutely tremendous. And he continued to take a great interest. And I think if you look across the media, there have been little interviews and excerpts from people who have gone through the Duke of Edinburgh scheme. You know, at one time, a lot of people regarded that as purely being something that employers were looking for to, as a tick box to show that you've done it. But actually, if you talk to the people who got involved in it, people perhaps who had very little hope or prospect in life, and what that actually did to change their life. And you don't always get really to the people who were furthest away from any type of opportunity that had this given to them through the Duke of Edinburgh Award Scheme and actually managed to turn their life around and gain some hope and some prospects. It's tremendous. I mean, in recent years, certainly in my time as Lord Provost and Lord Lieutenant, he hasn't been present in Edinburgh for the presentation of the awards. That's gone to Prince Edward, who has taken over that role with the Duke of Edinburgh scheme. But even up, the council has its own outward bound facility at Laganlea. That had its 50th anniversary last year, and unfortunately, due to COVID, we couldn't do anything. But that was opened by Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, over 50 years ago.
That's the City of Edinburgh Council has that facility way up in the Highlands for young people to enjoy.
That's absolutely correct. And you know, until COVID came along, every primary seven kid from a state school went for a week to Laganlea, which, you know, it is in the heart of the Highlands. It's outward bounds. It's an opportunity that kids from the city would never normally have. I mean, even in a city like Edinburgh, where we are so close to the countryside, to actually have that week's outward bound type activity. You know, it would have been great to have him there for the 50th.
It would have indeed. And tell me a little bit about what the city has done, apart from the very poignant 41-gun salute, which happened today. I believe you've also opened a virtual book of condolences.
That's correct. A book. We had to wait for the cascade to happen from the royal household down through the devolved government. But we have opened that now. We're now starting to advertise that. It will be advertised through the council website. But I've also notified all my deputy lieutenants, who are also now promoting that actively throughout the city. We're still waiting for details of the funeral arrangements, which we anticipate probably a week from today. But we haven't heard the final words on that. We will be holding a minute silence in the city in accordance with the protocol and in line with other cities. And once we know the exact details of that, we will be promoting that. And I'll be attending the city chambers to lead that. I'm also will be presenting a motion of condolence at full council. And I'm currently weighing up. Full council isn't for 3 weeks, which I think would be inappropriate to wait that long, especially given our position as Edinburgh. So I'm currently considering whether we recall council next week or perhaps the beginning of the week after, following the funeral. But I think to wait for 3 weeks would be inappropriate.
Yeah, and of course the Scottish Parliament is recalled on Monday to discuss a motion of condolence as well. So someone who was really quite influential, and even though he didn't live here, and well, certainly had the name, but certainly somebody very influential in the city.
Well, it's not just influential in the city. He has taken the name of our city across the world. We have a tremendous range of things that we are well known for. You know, we can list them all, from education to industry to commerce to theatricals to entertainment to culture. Heritage, but he actually took our name. You know, the Duke of Edinburgh, everywhere across the world, and gave it a different status in many different countries than it would have had if it was just left to our own devices, to the own, you know, the benefits that we do have and the great attractions that we have without doubt. The fact that he took our name with him certainly benefited our city. There's no doubt about that whatsoever.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Lord Provost of the City of Edinburgh, Frank Ross. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to the Edinburgh Report. Listen out for more episodes coming soon, and make sure you don't miss any by hitting the subscribe button now. This is one of the platforms where we can help advertise your business to our listeners. Would you like to know more about that? Then email editor@theedinburghreporter.co.uk. And remember, you can subscribe to have our monthly newspaper delivered to you direct. Sign up today on our website, www.theedinburghreporter.co.uk.